Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What a night. My mom texted me a little while ago and said, did you have a quiet evening? No, it was not a quiet evening, but it was a worthy investment considering how good October is for business. I keep reminding myself, October is great if you work in sports radio and TV because there is never a dull moment. And because I can't remember the last time I was bored. That is... doesn't happen in this business either. So yeah, yet another night that was completely consumed by the news and the events taking place in October as we have all four major team sports that are operating at the same time with baseball in its postseason. And then you still have WNBA finals and you've got other sports that are taking place as well. College football is certainly big. There's just so much happening. And it's sometimes hard to decide where to divvy up the time, and just as much a challenge is to get to everything. And so I always try to do my best with that and appeal to you as sports fans and know what it is that you care about. But it was certainly one of those nights that ran the gamut of emotions from the euphoric and the excitement, the intensity of watching a baseball playoff game, not to mention consternation if you are a Cleveland Guardians fan, or maybe you just want to see the Yankees lose, one or the other, because they certainly have not made life easy on themselves or the challenge easy on themselves in the ALCS with some of their mistakes and errors and wild pitches. So we'll get to that baseball game coming up momentarily. But I'm thinking when I wake up, okay, there's a baseball game and there are a handful of hockey games, but one in particular that I really want to focus on this evening. And then boom, trades happen. Three of them plus a signing. And those dominoes just started to drop. And yeah, this kind of caught me off guard. Not that I didn't expect that at some point Devontae Adams would end up getting traded or that we could see the Bills make a move for a player. And coming off of last night's game in which the Bills had a rookie running back as their top receiver, and he had 55 yards. So three catches, 55 yards, one that was on the longish side. There had to be a sense of urgency there for the Bills because of what they saw in this game. And as much as it's huge to get a win, especially on the road in the division, fact is they are still trying to figure out who are the best options in the receiving game, they're trying to break in another rookie in Keon Coleman. They're certainly missing the production of a Stephon Diggs and others who are no longer with the team. And so on Tuesday, they make a big move for Amari Cooper, who was with the Cleveland Browns most recently. And this is a wide receiver one. I remember when the Dallas Cowboys traded for him, and it was, what, it was a first-round draft pick. I'm going to have to go back and look at the exact compensation, but I remember thinking he was worth all of that and then some, just because of his ability to not only set the tone for teams, but the way that he's so precise when it comes to running routes, when it comes to being professional about the work that he has to do. He's had a few injuries to deal with, but for the most part, other than that first year in Dallas when he played about half the games, he was in 16 games, and then 15 his final year in Dallas, followed by 17 games his first season with the Browns, 15 games last year, and of course the games this so far this year with the Browns, in which he's had just 53 targets. He's at 250 yards through six games, couple of touchdowns. He can be utilized so much more heavily and can be relied upon so much more. And so I'm happy for Amari, the fact that he'll be able to fit into as soon as he and Josh Allen can get into a rhythm and they can figure out the offense. They can figure out ways to incorporate him. But a trade for both sides. In the case of Amari Cooper, who was playing alongside a quarterback and in a system that right now really does not have much of a deep threat, really doesn't have much offense to speak of, hasn't been over 20 points in any game this season. And to go to an offense where they desperately need someone like him, but also just the professionalism that he brings, the experience that he brings in multiple systems with different quarterbacks. This is huge for both parties, I think. And it was good to hear from Sean McDermott on Tuesday. We'll let you hear what the head coach of the Bills had to say momentarily. And then you think about the Browns' perspective and what this means. So that was kind of the second thought that popped into my mind. What does this mean? I mean, the Cleveland Browns have limped to a start that I would say at the very least is unexpected. There were, of course, some questions about Deshaun Watson going into this season, and they still don't have Nick Chubb. Wonder when they might bring him back. But the idea that they would start out 1-5 after a playoff season, a playoff run. Last year, they started five different quarterbacks. This year, Deshaun Watson's supposed to be healthy and QB1 right out of the gate. And Kevin Stefanski says everything he possibly can to support his quarterback. And yet, it's been brutal. Not all his fault. Okay, so this is not just on Deshaun Watson. But he's not the same quarterback that he was when he was with the Texans. They've got a really porous offensive line, one that's had injuries, it's got young guys starting on it. It's a mess. And while they do continue to try to run the ball, sometimes it looks like Watson is worried about getting hit too much or is anxious to get rid of the ball quickly, can't necessarily wait until the play develops downfield. So there are a lot of issues. And they can't score much. What does it say about the Browns and how they're viewing the rest of the 24 season? And then the other team playing on Monday Night Football, the New York Jets. Apparently this deal was going down last night after the game. And it becomes final on Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers doing his weekly interview with Pat McAfee, and apparently Devontae Adams jumped in for a couple minutes. from the facilities. This is not a surprise. Though maybe, just maybe, the fact that he is expected to play in week 7 against the Steelers might raise some eyebrows. What a coinky dink. He's healthy at the exact moment at which he's traded. Man, that hamstring issue, it just cleared up. That's terrific. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. That's where you can find me online. And then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't sent your questions for Ask Amy Anything, producer Pete will be trolling for your most creative ideas. I've seen some of them already. Looking forward to seeing which ones he chooses. So our show account at Amy After Hours. Look for the bright orange box. Oh, you can still vote for TD of the Week as we wrap up a Touchdown Tuesday. Better cast your ballot. In fact, we'll let you hear those candidates once again at the bottom of the hour. And then maybe if you need your memory to be jogged, you can hear them and decide. So yeah, we'll still take your votes for a couple more hours. Although I kind of like right now what I'm seeing on Twix. My favorite number is 333. And that's the specific number of votes we have. Now that's just on Twix, not on our Facebook page. So maybe don't ruin it. Never mind. Don't vote. Just kidding. It's pinned to the top of our show account. Again, at Amy After Hours. And since it is the hump show, you can send your questions for Ask Amy. We'll do that in the third hour of the show. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. I'd love to hear your reaction to these moves. Amari Cooper and Josh Allen. Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. What a weird story arc for these two. It's just weird. And yet, from the category of you can't make this stuff up, Cooper was desperate to co-play in Oakland. The Raiders were his family's favorite franchise. They were dyed-in-the-wool Raiders fans. And he also wanted to play with Derek Carr. So he turns down more money from Green Bay to take an offer with the Raiders. The Packers oblige him. They accommodate. They send him to Oakland, where he spends a couple years with Derek, except the end of the second year, Derek Carr gets benched by Josh McDaniels. And we see Davante Adams underutilized. Now, he was still very productive, but underutilized because of the quarterbacks they had. The revolving door of QBs in the wake of that benching. And then ultimately Derek Carr ending up in New Orleans. So Davante Adams is left behind and he's kind of stuck. And no doubt, as much as he is also a professional, he's getting more and more frustrated. I like what Antonio Pierce has done. Davante was among those players who stumped for Antonio Pierce to get the full-time gig, if you will, to have the interim removed from his name. But the quarterback situation is still not settled. So they bring in Gardner Minshew. He gets benched after 5 games because they need a spark. And they turn to Aiden O'Connell. Unfortunately for Davante, all too familiar. Now, Davante hasn't played these last couple of games because of the hamstring. And now he's headed to New York to reunite with Aaron. Seriously, weird. Just weird. And they were uber prolific when they were together in Green Bay. This we know. And now that the Jets have lost 3 in a row, they need an injection of energy. They need a new weapon. They need a new target. And I've said this over and over. As much as Garrett Wilson, I wonder how Garrett Wilson feels about this. As much as Garrett Wilson is a terrific young receiver, it's clear that he and Rodgers have not yet developed a rapport. they were working before last season, right? So when he was traded, now he wasn't traded early in the 23 offseason. It took a little while for the Jets and Packers to work that out. Remember, we were all held hostage by when this deal would go down. So he didn't have an entire offseason with Garrett, and then he got hurt four snaps into the season. But he's been working with the team throughout 24. It's just different when you're on the field with actual defense as opposed to running routes on air. And he and Garrett, at times, you can understand why that can be a really terrific combination. At other times, it's just not there yet. They're still working on it. But he and Alan Lazard, well, they've still got it. And there's reasons for that. There's reasons why Aaron turns to Lazard when he needs to move the chains or he's looking to make the home run play, if you will, like the Hail Mary. Now, that's a little bit different just because you're chucking it up there and hoping somebody comes down with it against their helmet and then holds the ball all the way to the ground. But Lazard is the guy he turns to routinely because he trusts him. Well, that's going to be the same with Davante Adams. Will it take him a minute to get back into it? Maybe. But you're talking about a six-time Pro Bowler who had terrific success in Green Bay. Nearly 70 touchdowns between the two of them. It's just crazy how things work out. So in the wake of week six, Monday Night Football, both teams, the winner and the loser, go out and add a new weapon to the offense. And so you'll hear from Sean McDermott and Woody Johnson and Jeff Ulbrich, who's already had Devontae in the building as they head toward a week seven matchup with the Steelers, which is on Sunday Night Football, if I remember that correctly. So another primetime opportunity for the Jets. Let's hope that Devontae is part of it. There were other trades. Cam Akers. Well, he's going back to Minnesota. And according to the Vikings or people around the Vikings, sources indicate this is not because they're worried about Aaron Jones. Just they would like to be able to return Akers to their lineup. So while Jones is dealing with a hip injury, Aaron is expected to be back, but Cam gives them some depth. You had Kevin O'Connell even going back to his days with the Rams has worked with Cam Akers. And I think more importantly, the Texans were willing to deal him because they've got Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce back on the field. And we saw what those two did week six against the Patriots. And so it was a wild day in the NFL. Tom Brady is now a part owner. I do giggle at the tagline when it comes to the story. Oh, so now he's officially retired. As if he was, people were still hoping that Tom Brady was going to leave the broadcast booth and go back to football. But when you're a part owner, you obviously can't be playing at the same time. So now it's official. Now Brady is completely over his football career. And we will not see an 87-year-old Tom Brady back on the field. Mark Davis talking about Brady joining the Raiders, and so we'll get to that as well. On the back half of this hour, we'll do some of the football. Is there a chance the Steelers could make a quarterback change? We know that Russell Wilson is healthy and was available this past weekend as the QB2, though Justin Fields was the only one who quarterbacked in that one. Straight ahead, game two of the ALCS in the Bronx, and imagine how different it was or could be if the Guardians were capitalizing on their opportunities and were a little less careless with the baseball. Even Stephen Kwan admitting the team did not play well on Tuesday. It's a long series still, but these are chances you don't get back. Amy after hours to vote for TD of the Week and to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page. We're good to go. I'm breathing. You're breathing. Everybody's breathing. We're glad to have you with us for the Hump Show, the middle show of the work week here on the Infinity Sports Network.
A high pop in the infield. The shortstop, Rocchio, near second. He drops the ball. He dropped the ball. It rolls to right field, and everyone's going to be safe. Torres scores, and the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Yankees Radio Network, John Sterling back in the booth for the postseason. And I suppose he was there at the end of the regular season as well. At the team's request, their longtime voice has returned. In game one, it was a postseason record-tying 5 wild pitches, 2 of which scored runs directly for the Yankees. So the Guardians throw all these wild pitches, and in doing so, make life easier on the Yankees. Now, I won't go so far as to say they gave the game to New York. They handed the game to New York. But it's hard to think about how it could have been different for the Guardians in the opener of the ALCS had they been able to slam the door in, I think it was inning number 2. Oh, third inning, excuse me. Right, because Alex Cobb, he was out there into that third inning, and then they went to the bullpen and promptly end up with a pair of wild pitches that score 2 runs for the Yanks. That was the third inning of the opener. And at that point, they're up 3-0. They don't need any more runs after that because the Yankees bullpen did the trick. Carlos Rodon in the bullpen only allowing 2 runs. So what if they don't have those 5 wild pitches, or even the 2 in the third inning? Then you think about tonight's game 2 and the errors that were made, including that one in the first inning, in which Aaron Judge comes up with runners on first and third and nobody out, and he hits a high pop-up only to see it dropped, kind of caroms away from Rocchio. And as it gets away, a run scores, and everybody's safe. So this is a tough way to win, by handing your team extra outs, or in some cases, directly leading to runs. But that wasn't it. There was also a fielding error by Will Brennan out in right on an Anthony Rizzo double that wouldn't have scored a run.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Had he not bobbled the ball, and then Anthony Volpe comes around to cross the plate. Right, you're talking about a 6-3 game. Those types of mistakes, they allow your opponent extra opportunities, extra outs, extra chances. And at this point in the season, when there are only 4 teams remaining, you can't afford that. I was listening to the Guardians Radio Network for a while. I really enjoy Tom Hamilton. And he actually said, now this is Hamilton, not Amy Lawrence, the Guardians aren't a good enough team to be able, right? He said his exact phrase was, they don't have enough talent to be able to withstand these types of mistakes against a team like the Yankees. Now, the Yankees certainly have warts. They've got fatal flaws. But in terms of their offense, even without Aaron Judge coming through. So So not hitting a big, you know, like a big bomb with two runners on in the first, or even when he came up in the second inning after the Guardians, talk about a bold move, after the Guardians, Stephen Vogt decides to walk Juan Soto, load the bases to get to Aaron Judge. Wowzers, I never thought I'd see that in my baseball viewing career. And so there's a lot of moves here that were bold by Stephen Vogt, and in some cases they work out. The way that he finagled his bullpen, I think it worked out for the most part. But between the wild pitches in game one and the errors in game two, we don't know how this series would look, because the Guardians are handing these extra opportunities. It's a little bit like turnovers in football. You're handing extra opportunities, extra possessions to your opponent, and the Yankees took advantage. And they didn't even really need to clobber the Guardians. Just score with the errors, and you've already got two runs across the plate. Same thing as game number one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and our phone number 855-212-4227. In the series, or in the playoffs, I should say, but in the series too, Aaron Judge has come up with ducks on the pond, huge opportunities, hadn't come through. He was 2-for-17 in the playoffs, but even if you're just talking about this game that was, you look at the opportunities with runners in scoring position, and he was 0-for-1, right? So he had that bases loaded chance in the second inning. And while he did manage a sacrifice fly, that was huge. They got a run across at the time. It wasn't like this move blew up in Vogt's face. When he pulled Tanner Bibee, he went to his bullpen, Cade Smith. Cade did his job. He got Aaron Judge to fly out, scoring just the single run. And then I think he struck out Austin Wells after that. So Cade Smith did the job he was supposed to do. So Vogt is pulling a lot of the right strings, if you will, pushing a lot of the right buttons, to use my little cliches. But then Aaron Judge gets another opportunity with a runner on first base in the bottom of the seventh.
Now here's the 1-1. Judge hits a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track near the wall. She's gone! Aaron Judge hit the ball so high you wondered. It came down in Monument Park. It's a Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Oh, this was definitely a towering shot. I saw some funny videos on, I think it was on social media, comparing a Jose Altuve home run with an Aaron Judge home run. And the fact that it just went so high up in the air, brought down the rain. I wouldn't say it was a no-doubter necessarily, although you can hear the crowd reaction at the time, just hoping, willing that ball to get out. Big smile on Aaron's face. I'm sure there was bit of relief and weight lifted off his shoulders. And so he's able to tack on two more runs for the Yankees. And before that, 2-for-17 in these playoffs, now has a signature home run in the ALCS. So the Yankees are up 2-0. And the Guardians are left to wonder what if, as the series goes back to the shores of Lake Erie. Now, as for Gerrit Cole, he started out flirting with disaster. He was able to get out of trouble multiple times. And this was yet another area where I felt like the Guardians must be kicking themselves, wondering, shoot, if we had just gotten one hit here or one hit there. Because Cole left a lot of guys on base. He pitches into the fifth before Aaron Boone pulls him. And he allows a couple of runs on 6 hits and 4 walks.
Unit.
He strikes out 4. I can't remember who it was that he struck out to end one particular inning where they had runners in scoring position. He got a couple of key outs. And the Guardians, they left 11 runners on base. So a lot of different ways this could have gone differently. So you've got to give credit to the Yankees, to the pitching staff, to certainly to the bullpen who came in to relieve Gerrit Cole. Clay Holmes was first up, and he was able to get them out of a jam there with two-thirds of an innings, two outs. And then they had to work their way through. Tommy Kahnle gets the hold, so a big opportunity for him and for Luke Weaver. So the Yankees did the job that they had to do. The pitching staff, I thought that was really important for them, especially with the day off coming up now. These two teams, they're able to reset potentially. It certainly looked like Tanner Bibee was not happy when he was pulled from the game in that second inning. All right, so the scene set is this. There's two runners on base. First is open. And the Guardian, Stephen Vogt, chooses to walk Juan Soto intentionally, pull Tanner Bibee, his starter, after just four outs, put Cade Smith on the mound to face Aaron Judge. So yeah, quite a strategy, quite a gamble. I'm not sure I've ever had a manager have to answer for intentionally walking the guy in front of the best hitter, the best home run hitter, the best power hitter in baseball.
They were hitting the ball, you know, around the ballpark, and we needed to stop the game. And in that situation, you want to try and get double play ball. You want to try and, you know, get two outs with one pitch. You want to try and find a way to get out of that inning, and Cade did a great job doing that.
He definitely did get them out with minimal damage. So it was a gamble that worked relatively well, though that third run was important too. Will Brennan, he's one of the guys that had an error out in right field that allowed another run to score. And you can tell he's thinking about the what ifs.
We have guys runners in scoring position. We have opportunities, and you know, we're just not catching that in. We're not getting those big hits in the timely manner that we have in the past. So all we can do is just keep getting guys out there, and the opportunity will arise for us.
It'll be nice to get back in Cleveland, have the home crowd. We didn't play Cleveland baseball today. I think we had a couple errors. We obviously pride ourselves on our defense, so if we want to win some games, we're going to have to play guard ball.
Yeah, Stephen Kwan says we obviously didn't play well today. We didn't play Cleveland baseball. And it's important to note, I think, that a bunch of these guys are into an ALCS for the first time in their careers, right? The fact that this team is relatively young. They were the youngest team in baseball in 22, missed the playoffs in 23, now back and pushing the Yankees. And they won the AL Central going away. In fact, they were still in contention for best record in the American League until that final weekend. So they deserve to be here. Their bullpen is one of the best in baseball, if not the best. I know they're even missing a couple of critical starting pitchers. I was hearing on the broadcast, Shane Bieber has started throwing now, and they're looking forward to having him back in 2025. They can't afford the errors in the Bronx, where you're against that massive crowd, but also against a team like the Yankees. So Gerrit Cole, not the best, not even as good as Carlos Rodon in the opener, but they get two wins, and now they head to Cleveland for game number three.
You got to keep moving. We need two more here, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. You know, we just talked about it, it's one game at a time, and excited to hand Clark the ball in game three and hopefully try and get another one.
Got to keep the same. You know, it's going to be a loud environment, a fun environment. You know, we've got to go out there and keep playing our game. You know, I think it starts with the top two guys in our lineup, Labor and Juan, what they've been doing all series, getting on base, driving the baseball. You know, it's got to feed off their energy and go from there.
Aaron Judge talking to TBS after this particular game. I'm happy for him just because the poor guy gets asked questions all the damn time about aren't you hitting home runs? Why haven't you come through in a big spot? La, 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 la. And it happens in every sport, right? You're making, what, $40 million a year? You're the face of baseball. You're a triple crown candidate. You're the best home run hitter and power hitter in the game. So yeah, there's of course more pressure. Plus you're wearing a C on your chest and you're you're wearing pinstripes. You're the captain of the Yankees. So there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and I'm always really impressed with how he handles it, for sure. So that's one more game in the ALCS. We inch closer to the Fall Classic. We've got the Mets and the Dodgers at Citi Field coming up on Wednesday. At A-Law Radio, love to hear from you. Also on our Facebook page, we'll pivot back to football next. So the reaction to the trades, the Bills get Amari Cooper, the Jets get Devontae Adams. Oh, isn't that neat and perfect for script writers? But also, Mark Davis talking about Tom Brady as a part owner. And speaking of owners, Jerry Jones loses his mind just a little bit on Tuesday on our Dallas affiliate. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twix at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. And top of the hour, talking about a powerful tribute to Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew, the family on hand in Columbus for the Blue Jackets home opener. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Let's lead off with Game 2 of the ALCS. The Yankees are halfway to the Fall Classic.
Getting ready. Here's the 1-2. A ground ball to third. Chisholm fields, fires across in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
John Sterling on Yankees radio. Yankees beat the Guardians 6-3. They take a 2-0 series lead. They're two wins away from the World Series. Aaron Judge with his first homer of the playoffs. Game 3 is Thursday in Cleveland. The scene for the National League Championship Series shifts to New York for Game 3 on Wednesday. Dodgers and Mets tied at a game apiece. Walker Buehler against Luis Severino. From the NFL, the Jets acquire wide receiver Devontae Adams from the Raiders for a conditional 2025 third-round pick. Adams popped his head in during Aaron Rodgers' weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee Show and was asked how his injured hamstring was doing.
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great. Getting, I was working with the staff over in Vegas the whole time, and they got me back right. So, fortunately, I'll be able to roll.
The pick the Jets are giving up could become a second-round pick if Adams is a first or second team All-Pro this season, or he is on the Jets' active roster for the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Bills acquire wide receiver Amari Cooper from the Browns. Vikings acquire running back Cam Akers from the Texans. NFL awards Super Bowl 62 in 2028 to Atlanta. NHL in overtime, Oilers 4, Flyers 3, Flames 3, Blackhawks 1. In a shootout, Stars 3, Sharks 2. Panthers over the Blue Jackets 4-3. Wild 4, Blues 1. The Kraken beat the Predators 7-3. Hurricanes over the Devils 4-2. The Capitals beat the Golden Knights 4-2. And the Lightning beat the Canucks 4-1. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call. 855-212-4227. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-1. Touchdown! Feathers melting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts in the gun, standing at the 50. Ball's at the 45. Barkley to his right. Eagles moving the football. Hurts again in the gun. He's back. He's looking. He fires. Wide open. Smith. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Devontae Smith.
Hello.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Second down and 3 with 1:58 to go. The Bengals line up in a pistol formation with Chase Brown behind Joe Burrow. All goes in motion. They give it to Chase Brown.
Nice.
He's got the first down.
See ya.
4.
See
up
ya.
The middle of the field. 10, 5. Rolls into the end zone. Touchdown. Bengals with 1:52 to go. And that is coffin nails.
The Detroit Lions.
Lions from their own 48 with a first down. Goff up under center. Single back Montgomery.
Jared takes, tosses to Montgomery, flips it back to Amon-Ra. He gives it to Goff, who's going to throw downfield. He's got Laporta, makes the grab. 20, 15, 10, 5, yes, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about a little razzle-dazzle in the Lone Star State? 52 yards.
The New York Jets.
Shotgun snap, two-man rush. Rodgers sets, looking, moving up, winding up, long arching spiral thrown down the middle in the end zone. Tipped and caught. They're going to call a touchdown. He hit the deck. He caught the ball. It's a Jets touchdown. 52-yard Hail Mary.
Just to refresh your memory, our candidates for After Hours TD of the week. The Philadelphia Eagles needed a 45-yard TD catch and run from Devontae Smith in the middle of the fourth quarter to edge the Browns. The call there with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles radio. The Bengals needed a 30-yard touchdown run from Chase Brown to seal it in their victory as well. And remember, they were playing on Sunday Night Football against the Giants at MetLife. Life desperate for a win, according to anybody in the franchise, including Joe Burrow. That's Dan Hoard and Dave Lapham. Also at MetLife Stadium, but on Monday Night Football, it made the game a lot closer and gave a jolt to the Jets locker room when Aaron Rodgers chucked a ball deep into the end zone, 52 yards, a Hail Mary that Alan Lazard caught against his helmet and then was able to keep it close to his body, even with the wealth of Bills defenders around him. That's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, though I swear we used the Bob Wischusen call. So it's the touchdown you're voting for. If it sounds different, I think we used the Jets call, Bob Wischusen, last time. But that's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. He's terrific. And then finally, the Lions go trickeration, baby. Sam Laporta on the receiving end of one of those plays where you got to track it. Where did it go? Jared Goff, handoff to David Montgomery, flipped it to Amon-Ra St. Brown, flea flicker, back to Jared Goff, boom, downfield over the top of a confused Dallas defense, and Laporta goes 52 yards, Dan Miller on Lions Radio. Right now, it's neck and neck in the voting, and so you can find that poll at Amy After Hours. I'll have to retweet, but it is pinned to the top of our show account. It's also on our Facebook page. Thank you, as always, for voting in our three weekly football polls. Man, we've been doing these for about 5-6 years now, and really enjoy gauging the audience, gauging football fans around the country in these polls with not just the TD of the week, but Monday MVP, and then also some of the After Hours Game of the Week suggestions that you give us. They're good conversation starters. So just retweeted, still up on our Facebook page too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Sean McDermott reacting to Amari Cooper in their locker room now.
First and foremost, believe in the receivers that we already have in the room, and you know, we'll see when Amari gets here and how, you know, we can get him up to speed and get him integrated into what we do and how we do things. You know, it's never about one guy. We're thankful to have him, but it's never about just one guy. And it's about the team. So, you know, we're anxious to get him on board here and get rolling.
He steps into that opening vacated by Stephon Diggs when he went to the Texans in a trade before the season. What can Cooper bring to the Bills offense?
I think that remains to be seen, right? You know, he was obviously on a different team as up until a couple hours ago. So we want to get him in here and get him up to speed on our terminology and our system and see how he fits in. And like I said, it's never about one guy. It's about the team and, in this case, the offense.
He had a career-high 1,250 receiving yards just last season. Crazy enough, right? That tells you how valuable he is because there were five different quarterbacks that started for the Browns. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams is back with the New York Jets. What about the hamstring injury?
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great. Getting, you know, I was working with the staff over in Vegas the whole time, and they got me back right. So, you know, fortunately, I'll be able to roll.
Devontae joining Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show just briefly after the news broke. Woody Johnson, he's the one that fired Robert Saleh, and now the Jets are all in.
I think he adds to the running game. He adds to the. He really makes everything. He opens up everything. You know, particularly having that relationship with the quarterback. That's very important.
Well, and isn't that the key? There is a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, just like Alan Lazard, just like a lot of the other pieces that they've brought in since they decided they wanted to get Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback to fill that hole and make them a Super Bowl team. Well, right now they're 2-4. And yeah, the offense has been fairly woeful. Can Devontae Adams help them in the red zone? Well, probably. There's a lot Devontae can do for you. How will it work with the Jets? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.